All right, Romans chapter 7, everybody. We'll continue our thoughts. This morning we learned that the law was given to show us what sin was, right? Did y'all sleep on me this morning? Did I lull you to sleep? It reveals sin, right? It revives sin, it ruins sinners, and it reflects sin. That's what the law is. We'll continue our thoughts now, beginning with verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, though in the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Pray again, Father, I'm thankful for this time you've given me. I just ask that you continue to help me to stand. Give me the words to say. Christ, Lord, may your people's ears and hearts be open to receive your word and be fed in full at your table tonight. Lord, just allow your spirit to move our hearts. Lord, help us to be where we need to be. I thank you again for everyone that's gathered here tonight. Lord, you heard her request this morning and tonight, and we're sure to lift them up before you. And speak, precious will be done. Again, I thank you for my salvation and assurance and this privilege and honor of being able to stand before your flock. Give me my sins and my wrongs. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. I remember at one time, early in my ministry, this passage, being new, being green as a gourd, I really didn't quite understand what the Apostle Paul was trying to say here. I had one old preacher, friend of mine, and I mean he knew the word, but he come from a different era. And when he was in school, he was taught that, now this isn't the Apostle Paul. Y'all need to understand that. This is an old carnal Christian. And I got to reading and studying over that, and I thought, no, sir, he's talking about himself. But see, what Paul is speaking about here is a mature Christian. It's not someone that's carnal. Someone that's not submitted to the will of God for their life. They're saved, but they're given into the flesh and doing what they're... That's not carnal. That's just an everyday thing for a child of God. And Paul was no different than us. You see, he had a saved soul that was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, like you and I that are saved. He also had this old flesh that never got redeemed. And it was a constant battle. And how about y'all? Y'all fight that battle every day? Every single day. So anyway, Paul's going to try to help us with it. But anyway, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual," which the law is spiritual, and it was good. And it was given for our benefit to teach us how we should live to please God. So it's spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us. Amen? That's where the problem comes in. The law was good. How do I know? Because God gave us the law. And God doesn't give us any junk, and He doesn't give us anything that's not for our good. Now, He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, I want you to understand that word carnal means fleshly. And I want to tell you, yes, I am saved. Yes, I've been redeemed. I've been sealed, just like Paul, by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Listen, at that point when I called on the Lord and accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior, right then, right there, He saved me. He forgave me of every single sin. And I'm sealed. But I'm still carnal. Yes, I'm saved going to heaven. But in this body, I still have a desire that never got redeemed to go ahead and do the things I used to do. And that's what Paul is talking about being sold under sin. Listen, we have a fleshly nature. And it is constantly raising its ugly head, and we're constantly being tempted to think thoughts we shouldn't, say things we shouldn't, go places we shouldn't, do things we shouldn't. Constantly. And if we don't keep our spiritual condition exercised and in submission to the Spirit of Christ, guess what's going to happen? We're going to give in to all of those wails of the devil. We're going to give in to the flesh. And we're going to be doing exactly what we were doing before He saved us. And that's what Paul is saying. You say, you mean to tell me you think the Apostle Paul was giving in to sin? This is his autobiography. He's saying those very things that I hate are the very things to do. You say, but he's the Apostle Paul. He wrote all these books in the New Testament. He sure did. But he's just like me and you. Just a sinner saved by grace that has to battle the flesh day after day after day. And some of us, I'll tell you what our problem is. Because it is a battle, and we get tired of the struggle, we throw up our hands and we say, well, I can't help myself. Therefore, here I go. And beloved, that's the wrong attitude. Listen, you can help yourself. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We don't have to give in. And you don't have to quit. But yet there's many out there that have quit on God. And I'll be honest, it is a struggle. And I would be lying to you tonight if I said there wasn't times I wasn't discouraged and felt like, I'm just going to sit on a pew somewhere and let somebody else preach. Let somebody else teach. I'm going to serve you, Lord, because you saved me and I do love you. But I'm tired of all of, it's just too much. God's grace is always sufficient. Always. Now notice what he says. He says, sold under sin, for that which I do, I allow not. And that word allow means I know better. I know better than to do these things. I know better. But yet I do them. And the reason we do them is we haven't got our bodies under subjection to the Spirit of God. We're not fighting the battle. We're just kind of on cruise control. But he says, for that I do, I allow not. For that I would that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. What's he saying? The very things that he knows wrong is the very things that the flesh is pulling him to do. Things that he literally hates. Those are the things he does. And beloved, you know why? Because he's like me. He's like you. You see, yes, there's the saved Pastor John, and there's still that old fleshly John. And they take up one space, this body. And they fight constantly against each other. I'll be honest. Sometimes, Pastor John, no hard, no holds barred, I win. There's other times he decks me. And I find myself getting picked up off the floor. Again, the very things that I shouldn't do, I do. The very things I shouldn't think about, I shouldn't say, places I shouldn't go, are the very places I end up. Oh, wretched man. Notice. then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So what's he saying there in 15? Those things that are good, I know are good, those things that I should be doing for the gospel's sake, for the Lord, I know they're good, but the flesh comes in and tells me, no, they're not good. And those things that I hate, I know go against the Word of God, go against what God wants me to be and how to live, are the very things the flesh says, oh yeah, that's what you want. Because the flesh wants what it wants. And I want you to understand tonight, your flesh never got saved. You understand that. I think a lot of people don't know that part. They're not mature enough to understand. My soul got saved. And let me say something about being righteous before God, and I won't charge you. The moment you and I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, we needed Christ as our Savior, and we walked the altar, knelt before the Lord, confessed our sin and repented, and received Him into our heart. Listen to me. At that very moment, we were given the righteousness of Christ. And right then and there, we were as righteous as we'll ever be anymore in this life. You're never going to get any more righteous than that. So why are you trying and struggling with righteousness when you've already been declared righteousness based upon what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago? You see, I'm saved. I am sealed. Paul was saved. He was sealed. We don't have to worry about ever losing our salvation. We don't ever have to worry about our righteousness, because at the moment we received Jesus, we were declared righteous. And we're never going to get any more righteous than that right there. Y'all understand that? That's good stuff. So, I'm not saying, now please listen to me, because I'm not wanting you to say, Pastor John, did you hear what he preached Sunday night? We got a label to sin. We're as righteous as wherever we're going to be. We might as well just go out and live any way we want to. I didn't say that. I didn't imply that. That's on you. Go ahead. Sin all you want to, but let me drop a little buggy in you. Lord's going to whip your tail. Believe me, He can bring the leather. You ever been whipped? You ever been chastised? Yeah. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I mean. That's our problem. A lot of carnal Baptists think that they have a license to go and live any way they want to. Can I tell you something? If a person is truly saved, listen to me, he will have a desire for the things of God. He may fail the Lord, he may fall into sin, but he has a desire for God's Word, for God's house, and for the Lord. He has that desire within him. I know that we're going to fall. And fail the Lord from time to time. But that person's saved. I tell you, the person that's not saved, that is fooled, it's that person that says he's saved, but he doesn't desire the things of God. He doesn't desire the Word of God. He doesn't desire coming to church. He doesn't desire being with other Christians. He doesn't desire telling others about Jesus. That person is in trouble. But he's not saved. Because at least we have that desire. Amen? Notice, he said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me that goes against the law. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And it's truth. We want to please God. We want to serve God. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? That's where that desire comes in. We all, if we're truly born again and saved, have a desire to please the Lord and do that which is pleasing in His sight. But this old flesh, this old body, which our spirit is in, it wars all the time and tries to continue to go against that which is unnatural. Notice, he says, for it is good, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Is that not the truth? Continually. What I'm trying to get at tonight, you guys, is this. You want to serve the Lord. That should be your top priority and desire. But you're going to battle. You're going to struggle with the flesh till the Lord either takes us home by fog or calls us up in the cloud. And it's going to be that way till we leave this walk alive. And the sooner we come to that conclusion, the better off we'll be. And it is a struggle. I struggle every day. You say, but you're a preacher. Preachers don't struggle. Thank you, brother. They do struggle the most. I've got preacher brothers that walked away from the ministry. They struggle. I know lots. Folks I used to pastor were once on fire for God. Every time the doors were open, they were here. Ask them to do something for God, and it was, oh, let me pray about it. See if it's the Lord will be. Here I am, send me. Use me. And now, you see someone ask about them and find out, well, they ain't been to church in years. Well, did they move off? No, they're still. Really? What's going on? That struggle, it's worn down. And the battle of the flesh will wear you and I down if we aren't sure. Now, how did Paul handle it? Notice, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But look at what he says in verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. How was Paul able to lead a victorious life, even though he battled with flesh just like you and I? He had victory because he delighted in the things of God. You think us preachers always harp on you about read your Bible, pray, come to church, share your faith. We just harp on you to do that. You know why? Because that is delighting in the things of God, and that is what's going to give you victory over your struggle with the flesh. And that's what Paul is telling you. I delight the law of God in the inward man, the spirit. You delight in the Lord tonight? I do. Folks, it's victory. That's the secret. Delight in the things of God. Notice. But I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There we go again. Now the victory is delighting in the law of God. But there is that old member in this old body that dangles that carrot. Look at that old man. Go ahead. One little bite of that ain't gonna hurt you. Go ahead. Go over there. You know, if God loved you, He'd want you to have some time. What a lie. Let me tell you something. The law of sin, if you're not careful, it causes you to think and believe that you're really lacking and missing. The devil will tell you, listen, God loves you, He'd let you do that. He loves us too much to keep us. Because sin is deceiving. Sin is costly. Don't believe it? Go down to D Street. Go down to Las Vegas Boulevard. Go on Fremont. You want to see inside. It's all because they believe the lie. Oh, they're living. No, they're dying spiritually. They're dead already in sin and trespass. Dead. And they don't even know spiritually. Now, notice what he says. This is what he calls himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. Is this the great apostle Paul? Yeah. What do you call himself? A wretched man. Yeah. And you know what? I identify with that wretched man, preacher. I identify. I'm a wretched man. You're a wretched man. You're a wretched woman. We're wretched apart from the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. We're wretched. He goes, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I'm here to tell you, Christ has delivered us from that body. He has promised one day to come through the clouds, call us up to meet Him in the air, where we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And guess what? We're going to receive new glorified bodies where we'll never have to worry about dealing with sin ever again. So yes, we have been delivered from this body of death through His death on a cross. Paul knew the secret. And I want you to know the secret. And the secret is this. As long as you and I are alive on this old earth, this side of heaven, in this old body, we will struggle with this flesh until He calls us home. And we are no longer in bondage to this old body. That is a great promise. We just got to keep on fighting every day. I guarantee you, it's up to you to fight. Don't give in. At least struggle a little bit. Amen. At least put up a good struggle. Kind of like your old Irish did last night. Put up a good struggle. But my point is, we tend to want to just give up. We don't want to fight. We're just tired and throw our hands up. No, it's a fight till the end. The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And then he tells us, you've already been delivered 2,000 years ago. We just have to wait patiently. But while we're waiting, we're to redeem the time. And we're to delight in the things of the Lord. And then he closes by saying this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. What you say in preaching, simply this. I fight every day. Not easy. I want to do the things that please God. To the best of my ability, I try to do that every day. But I also have a fight on my hands because the flesh keeps saying, hey, no, I don't like that. You want to come over here. You want to say that, you want to do this. But again, the victory is in Jesus. Thank God for it. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for what you have? Beloved, as a child of God, you should be thanking God every single day. In fact, not just when you come to church on Sunday, it's an everyday thing. In fact, it should be moment after moment. But we've got a lot to be thankful for. I know what I was before I met the Savior. And yeah, I believed the devil's lie for a while. I did. I was the most miserable person on this face, on this planet, face of this earth. I was miserable. But the devil had convinced me, oh, you're having fun. He is a liar, he's a thief, he's a murderer. Then I met the mighty Savior. And he changed me. Yes, I still struggle. God's grace. I have victory. I'm no longer in bondage. Oh, I still sin from time to time. I have a wrong thought. I might get angry with someone. Say what I should be. No, I'm not like Simon Peter. I, believe it or not, I don't cuss. He changed my vocabulary when he said it. I worked with an old boy. I got to tell this. Worked for Dwight Byron Construction. Dwight was deacon, director of Heights Baptist Church. Great guy. I'd just gotten saved. I mean, I hadn't been saved probably a couple weeks. And he found out, you know, that I needed a job. He wanted to be a mentor to. So he hired me. We were up there. I think I've told you. We were up there plywood on the roof. And those guys, you know, they're good with them hammers and them roofing nails. And I'm up there and I go, wow, hit my thumb. And I'll be honest, I wanted to say something, but I didn't. I just threw the hammer as far as I could. Dwight looks at me and goes, John, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, that looks like it hurts. Well, it does hurt. He goes, get down and go get your hammer. I said, I don't know where I threw it. Get down and go get your hammer. He says, cool off. He goes, while you're looking for your hammer, I'm going to pray for you. All right, so I go down. I look around, finally find it, come back up on the roof. Up there, bam, hit the same thing. I'm red, just ready to just let it go. He walked up to me, he says, every time you hit your thumb, say praise the Lord. I said, I don't think I can do that. He goes, every time you hit your thumb, praise the Lord. Well, you know, you'd have thought, twice would have been enough, huh? No, before the day was over, I must have hit both of these hands probably half a dozen times. And I started saying, praise the Lord. And every time I'd say, praise the Lord, must have hit your thumb again. Thanks, Brother Dwight. Yes, I did. He goes, you know what? I don't think I need you up here on the roof anymore. I'm going to let you install insulation. Can I trust you with a staple gun? I hope so. That brother, I'm so thankful God put him in my life as a new Christian. Because I tell you what, he helped me more. He hired another guy, led him to the Lord. You know, he told me to say praise the Lord. He told this guy when he hit his hand, he always got him on the roof first. He told this guy, every time you hit your thumb, say hallelujah. And that old boy, I see him, I can't think of his name. He hit his thumb again, and he didn't say hallelujah. He said, fudge, fudge. And Dwight goes, what'd you say? Boy, get off it. And I said, Dwight. He said, fudge, fudge, like you eat fudge. He goes, I told you to say hallelujah. He goes, don't do that. Now, we laugh. That's the battle we're facing. You see, I struggle every day. So do you, and I know that. And that scripture, which is pretty much to the point, Paul tells us exactly how it is to be a born-again child of God, what we deal with. Every one of us. That's us too. It's for our benefit. Remember. Fight. It's going to be a struggle, but put up a fight. It's worth the effort to please the Lord. And eventually, we're going to be with the Lord. And I'm going to say one other thing and I'm done. The Lord just brought this to my mind that I want to bring out. The closer, preacher, I get to the Lord, this is true. The closer I try to please Him and I get to the Lord, the more I realize how wretched and sinful I am. I'll let that sink in. One of these days, we're already accepted into the Beloved, and we have been, we're as righteous as we're ever going to get. But one of these days, when we're there with Him in glory, we won't have to worry about, oh my goodness. And I see myself and I see my King and my Master and my God. I don't stack up. We won't have to worry about that. We're all going to be in the same level, same playing field. We're all going to be the same in Jesus. Amen.